Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you say that, because this person came from somebody. This word was given to us at the beginning of the year, but this person didn't know it, and it was a prophetic word that landed in our mailbox a couple of weeks ago. And so it's right on with what God is doing. It's right on.
Once again.
God knows. He knows he knows. I think not. Okay, I want to read you this real quick. I want you to think about the circumstance that you're in right now, the details of your life, what's captured your thought. Trust me in every detail of your life. Nothing is random in my kingdom. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to those who love me. Instead of trying to analyze the intricacies of the pattern, focus your energy on trusting me and thanking me at all times. Nothing is wasted when you walk close to me. Even your mistakes and sins can be recycled into something good through my transforming grace. While you were still living in darkness, I began to shine the light of my presence into your sin-stained life. Finally, I lifted you up out of the mire and into my marvelous light. Having sacrificed my very life for you, I can be trusted in every facet of your life. I want you to think about the last line. I sacrificed my very life for you. I can be trusted in every facet of your life. Isn't it interesting to think sometimes that somebody that we call God, that we've based our faith system on, that we call our Savior, that we tell other people we believe in, encourage other people to believe in, that we see that everything he went through to show us how much he loves us, and yet we have such a hard time trusting him with every facet of our life. Isn't that an interesting thought? And how do we get stuck like that? To where I think, personally, just my humble opinion, I think it's because we minimize what he has done. And we minimize who he really is. And we think he's like us. And we forget how great he is. And we forget what he really did. Anybody that goes through that kind of stuff for you and me, we should be able to trust him. Quite honestly, that's a lot of bloodshed. That's a lot, what he did. Not just a little bit. That's like more sacrifice than you and I could ever come up with. So, just a thought. And which is a little bit about what I want to talk about tonight, which is our thought life. So let's just pray. Father, your word tells us to be still and know that you are God. So, Lord, let this time together here be tonight. A time where your children open their hearts, their minds, their spirits to receive from you. Let it not be a word of the flesh, for it's of no value to the hearer. It's no value in any way, shape, or form. But one word of the Spirit invokes transformation. It's life-changing in our emotions and our inmost being in every area of our life. So, Lord, let this not just be a social gathering tonight. Let it not be a religious time card that we're punching. Let it not just be a place to be on a Wednesday because I don't know where else to be. But let your children come hungry to hear from you. Desperate, like we sang, to be more like you. To eat the bread of life. To breathe in the wind of the Spirit. And to be as willing and as beautiful a sacrifice when it's our turn to sacrifice, as you were and still are today. Help me, Lord, tonight to bring forth your words. for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had something I was going to say, but I don't remember, so it must not be that important, so I'm just going to get to the word. And this was not the direction I was going to go tonight, but it's the direction the Holy Spirit got me turned in along the way. So I'm going to do my best. I want to talk to you tonight about casting down vain imaginations. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Got through God, that's an important piece of that scripture. Casting down imaginations, some translations say vain imaginations. This is the King James that I'm reading from right now. "And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and bringing into captivity every thought to the knowledge of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Do you know that when you fulfill obedience, all disobedience, vengeance comes against it? Scripture says, when the perfect comes, everything imperfect begins to fall away. Everything imperfect leaves. When you, just like Sean said tonight, when I just got obedient, when I stopped trying to make things happen the way I thought they should happen, the way I wanted them to happen, the way I had always done it before, the way that made sense to me. And when I just did, I just took that step of obedience. I just got rid of the old data and I put in the new and I trusted God. I just got in my car and I just drove here. Whatever it is, when you do that thing of obedience, all of what disobedience is creating in your thought life, and in your emotional life, and in your physical life, and in every other life, begins to get demolished. This morning, as I was up and the news was on, I heard yet another random, as it is presented, act of violence. Some guy in a college who ran through the college with a box cutter, slicing the faces of people in the hallways at this college. Texas. Is that where I was? In Texas. I forgot where I was. Sounds pretty random. You talk to the people that know this boy, and they would say, this was pretty random. He's never been in trouble in his life. He's never done anything like this before in his life. So he wakes up one day, and he runs, pulls out a box cutter, and runs around and starts slicing up people's faces. And they're all like, this is a random, just like people say, random acts of kindness. This is some random act of violence. Yet another one. We're hearing more and more of them, which you should not be surprised about. If you read your Bible, this is normal. This is why we need to be ready. And not dwelling on former things, but ready for the thing that God has us in today. Because I'm going to tell you today, in the latter times, we're going to be ministering to people in a very different way. We're going to be ministering to a very different group of people, and we need to be ready. But anyway, that's a different message altogether. But this is what people say. This was so random. Can I tell you, these are not random. These are not random in any way, shape, or form. What we do never comes from a random place. Right. It always comes from what we've been thinking about. That's where they come from. People's imaginations begin, they're given freedom. Their imaginations are given freedom to reign. They're given freedom to rule. They're given freedom to run free and do whatever they want to do, until one day an opportunity meets itself with a total lack of self-control, and boom. All of a sudden, it's a random act of violence. No, it isn't. I guarantee you, he'd had thoughts about hurting people before. He'd had vain imaginations. Some of you have had vain imaginations about dying, about killing yourself, about what your death would be like, vain imaginations maybe about hurting other people. Now you tell yourself, no, I would never really do that, but we allow these vain imaginations. Boy, if I could get face to face with that person, if I have to talk to that person, this is what's going to happen. If I don't, and we have all of these vain imaginations that we just allow to run around and run around and run around, And we tell ourselves. They act out. This is what people do. This is what this boy did. He thought about it, and he thought about it, and he thought about it. And because he demanded no self-control right here over that imagination, then one day you act on that imagination as though it is real. When it's not. It's not real at all. Psalm 73:7 says, "From their callous hearts comes iniquity." Everybody agree with that? Every iniquity I ever got involved in came from a callous heart. I don't know about you. Their evil imaginations have no limits. Now, evil imaginations, that's just not like, ooh, they're hurting kids or they're hurting people. Or evil imaginations are any of the imaginations that are of an evil spirit and not of a Holy Spirit. Like how badly you talk about yourself, or you degrade yourself, or you hate yourself, or you hate your brother, or how you gossip or slander, or you, all these imaginations that go around in your brain and go around and go around, and you know are not of the Holy Spirit at all. They are evil imaginations from an evil spirit with an evil intent. They have no limits. Have you ever really gone, I cannot believe I'm thinking about this? I had this woman come to me in church about 15 years ago. She came up to me and she goes, I have no idea what's wrong with my mind, but I just need you to pray for me. She said, I don't curse. But she said, I have cursing words going around in my head all the time and I can't seem to make them stop. What is she struggling with? Evil imaginations. One of the things about self-control, which is self-control is fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, God, blah, 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 self-control. Self-control must begin in the mind. It has to. If you can't control this, this is just waiting for an opportunity to have a random act of meanness, a random act of sin, a random act of violence, a random act which is not a random act at all. So it says here, we must cast down the vain imaginations. Here's what vain means. I want you, as I'm talking about this, I really want you to take some time to think about the things that you think about that you don't tell people you probably think about. Producing no result. What are the things you think about that don't produce any result at all? Or they're useless, fruitless, lacking any substance or worth. Your worry, your doubt, your fear, your unforgiveness. Whatever it is, these things that just go on and on and around and around and around and around and around. An imagination. The faculty of imagining or of forming mental images or concepts of what is not actually present to the senses. In other words, it's not real except in your pumpkin head. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The action or process of forming such images or concepts. You ever sat around and formed imaginations in your head and you really believed they were real? You were certain they were real. Now, people tried to tell you that's not real. And yet your vain imagination continued to make it real again and again. Why? Because I let it run on. I exalted it. So often, our thoughts really are nothing more than vain imaginations. They're not real. They're stuff we make up in our head. They produce nothing. They're useless. They produce no good fruit, or they produce rotten fruit. They have no worth at all. They just run around and run around and run around. And they create more vain imaginations. And they form more vain imaginations. We make stuff up that isn't real or present. What did it say? Concept of what is not actually present to the senses. Here's one of the ways we do it sometimes. We dwell on, ponder, we fear, we fret over stuff of the past. Has nothing to do with today. And you know what? It actually may have been true back there. But just because something was true a year ago does not mean it's true today. Right. At all. Just because something was true last week does not mean it's still true today. That's why he says, Forget the former things. Do not consider, do not dwell, do not ponder on the things of the past. Why? Because we create vain imaginations out of it that just go around and around our head. And to us, we think it's true. But the reality is, it's in the past. Or we try to be amateur psychics about the future. And we create all these vain imaginations. We know how God feels about psychics. Do not worry about tomorrow. It has enough worry of its own. But yet we create all these vain imaginations about what's going to happen tomorrow. Endless hours we spend exalting imaginations rather than casting them down. I want you to think about some of the imaginations you've exalted. Here's what it means to exalt something. To hold in high regard. To raise to a higher rank or a position of greater power. How often do we take our vain imaginations from the past? The vain imaginations we create for the future. Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if this? And what if that? And blah, blah, blah. And we go on and on. We have all these vain imaginations. Well, they don't really love me. And they don't really care about me. And they don't really want me. And they don't really need me. Really, who told you that? You know what? This is what Gideon was doing when God showed up on scene. And he's like, well, I'm the least. And my clan is blah. And this is blah. And God's like, Gideon, who told you this? You mighty man of valor. What had Gideon done? He had exalted, he had lifted up all of his vain imaginations above the greater power, which is the name which is supposed to be in our mind's eye, and our imagination's the name which is above every name. What did it say? We are supposed to exalt, yes I can, to hold in high regard, to raise to a higher rank or a position of greater power. How many vain imaginations do you raise to a higher power than this? Do you exalt to a higher place than this? Isaiah 65:2. All day long. This is your Father talking to you. All day long, I have held up my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. Here's God. Come to me. Let me tell you the truth. Come to me, Tabitha. Let me tell you the truth. Don't listen to what all those voices are saying. Leona, Matt, don't listen. Come to me. I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you what's reality. See these vain imaginations? That's not reality. Come here, I'll tell you the truth. And yet we become obstinate. And we take our vain imaginations and we exalt them above the word of God. And we say they're more powerful and true and right than what we know. So much of the torment that we live in every single day is of our own personal choosing, of our own personal exalting, and of our own personal doing. We choose torment, we exalt torment, and we live in it until something happens and we end up doing it. And this is what we do. His power is right here. Come to me. My power is big enough to cast that thing down and to exalt my word above that. His authority, his direction, his peace, it's all right there. It's right here. It's come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. And what do we choose to do? Not to cast that thing down, but to exalt itself above the one who's stretching out his hands and going, let me give you reality. Let me give you truth. Let me tell you how you should think. I want to tell you really quickly how to cast down vain imaginations. I cannot tell you how many people have come to me in their Christian walk and said, I have heard that scripture forever and ever, but I just don't know how to do it. So I'm just going to give you some practical things as to how do you cast down a vain imagination. The first thing in casting down a vain imagination is that you have to understand that to cast something down is an intentional effort. You cannot wish that thing to come down. You cannot fast that thing to come down. You cannot pray that thing to come down. You must cast it down. It's like that book right there. Let's say those books right there, that's just a really bad thought. It's a thought of the past. It's a thought of judgment. It's a thought of fear. It's a thought of Rahab thought. Here's a Rahab thought. Rahab is the soul that refuses to be comforted. Her vain imagination is unhappy, wants to be unhappy. No matter what anybody says, she's still unhappy. God says this and this, I don't care. And so you can look at that all day long and you can go, God, I really don't want to think that way. If you just cast that thing down. I mean, the Word of God says, cast that thing down. And we just look at it. We don't do anything. To cast something down is an actual, intentional, you know what? I don't care what people say. In the name of Jesus, I cast that thought down. I know what God's Word says. It is an intentional. I don't care what everybody else says, this thing that you just read. I don't care what everybody else says. I know what the Word of God said to me. And therefore, I cast down the vain imagination that what? I intentionally, I purposefully, I make a choice and I cast that thing down and I say, no, I know what God said to me. I know what God's Word says. I know what my husband said to me. I know what my wife said to me. I know what my friend said to me just this morning when I picked up the phone and I said, do you love me? And they said, yes. So I cast down this vain imagination that thought that they're mad at me. I cast that down and I said, no. The reality is this. And I'm going to believe that. And I'm going to walk in that. And you have to cast it into a place of submission. To cast something down means you are lowering it intentionally from the place of power you have set it in. You're making its knee bow. To what? To the truth. To the truth of God, to the truth that your husband, your wife, your friend just told you, whatever it is, you will submit and I cast you down and I no longer give you room to run around up here and be paraded. In Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And that is the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And to the glory of God the Father. We sing a song called His Name. I love that song. Every time I see that song, I just see the name of Jesus getting higher and higher and higher and every vain imagination going down, 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 down. His name. The name of Jesus, I cast down that lying vain imagination that it's not true. The second thing is, to cast down a vain imagination, you have to challenge its present reality. You yourself must challenge its present reality. Vain imaginations are made up. They're formed. They're not of a present reality. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you think you're right does not mean you're right. I'm just going to tell you, the Pharisees thought they were right. They really did. They cherished the law. They sacrificed to fulfill that law. That was what they were handed down from their fathers. This was all the stuff, but this is the former things. That's what Sean, this is the former things. We're supposed to be doing this. I've been taught this my whole life. This is the way it's always been. And when God said it's time to cast down the former things, they couldn't do it. They absolutely couldn't do it. Why? Because in their mind, they were right. And they were right from the past. But see, the present reality, they weren't in anymore. Because they lived in their vain imaginations. Again, it may have been true then, but is it true today? This thought you're having right now, that's running around in your head, whatever it is, you're going to die, people are going to leave me, the sun, the ceiling's going to fall in. Pick it. I don't care. What is your vain imagination? Is it true today? Right now, in this moment, is it real? Or is it only real in your head? Is your imaginations coming from graveyards of the past? Hello. Or are your imaginations, like I said, playing in the psychic realm of tomorrow? Whatever that thought is running around your head right now, I challenge you to challenge its present reality. I dare you to. Don't just run around and think you're right all the time. Here's one of the things that people that have to think they're right all the time struggle with. And that is control and change. They don't do change well because they always like to be in control. And they always want to be in control. Why? Because then I'm in control. Then everything, get in my database. Come on. This is how it's always been. And they don't change well, because I have to let go of control of what I've always known and my imaginations and my reality and my perceptions in order to receive this new thing. Number three, speak to it. Proverbs 18 through 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There is so much power in the spoken word. How did this world get here? God spoke, and there was light, and God spoke, and there was fish, and God spoke, and there were birds, and he spoke, and he spoke, and he spoke. There is power in the spoken word. There's power in the spoken confession. If you speak to it, and it doesn't bow down, you've got this vain imagination. First of all, open your mouth and speak to it. And say, you know what? I don't believe in you. I'm not going to believe in that. I'm just not going to. I checked out its presence reality. I found out what was real. Now, I may not be feeling that way, but you know what? I don't care. You're a liar. I don't believe you. I know what God's word says, and I know what my friend says. And here's the thing. If you speak to it, and it doesn't work, and you still feel like you got all these vain imaginations running around out here, then do this. Go tell somebody. You know why? There is so much power in the spoken confession. So much power. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, confess your sins one to another. You'll be faithful and just blah, blah, blah. Now, that wasn't just so that you could confess because there's some sort of religion in confession. When you go to a brother or a sister that you trust, and you just say, man, I'm just really struggling with my thoughts. I can't get these vain imaginations out of the way. When they're running around free up here and there's no self-control, they have a lot of power. But when you open your mouth and get it out there, it is the beginning of the diminishing of their power. For a couple of reasons. One, because you've brought them out of the isolation and darkness and into the marvelous light. Especially if you've gone to a brother or a sister of light that you trust. It's out there. Man, I'm really struggling with my, like this woman who came to me and she said, I have fasted, I have prayed, I've done every, I am so ashamed I'm even having to tell you this. But the minute she got it out there, the power over that vain imagination, it's like when you put salt on a slug, it slowly just begins to lose its form. The next thing you know, now I can begin to speak to that thing. I can begin to pray. I can begin to say, let me say what that thing is telling you is a lie. She didn't even want to come to church anymore. She was so condemned by her thought life, she didn't want to go through the doors of the church. She hadn't been to church in like 3 or 4 months. And so then I could come in and go, well, I want you to know that what the devil is telling you is wrong. You belong here. And I could just begin to speak light into that place. The power of the imagination is broken by the spoken truth of reality. That's why we have always told you guys, when somebody is telling you a lie, if you just stand there and say nothing, then you become guilty by association, and you, by your silence, you give power to the truth. You need to open your mouth. I don't care whether they listen to you or not. Do not let lies run around and be spoken without going, you know, I just want to tell you that's not true. The voice of truth, right? Because there's power in the spoken word. Number four, you need to exalt something higher than the thought that you're trying to cast down. Amen. You must put something above it. You've got to put your thoughts above it, the right thoughts above it, or someone else's. Somebody else who knows the truth, who will come in and say, let me just tell you that thought, let me put something higher than that. How do you cast that down? You got to put something on top of it in order to lower its place. And if you can't do that, then you get somebody who will do that. Proverbs 4:4-8. Finally, brothers and sisters, it's one of Jerry's life scriptures. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Why? Because as you do, you exalt them, and as you exalt them, you lower the position of everything else. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Joey was talking to somebody recently, and he goes, well, how do you get rid of a lie, this particular lie thing, whatever? And they said the only way that you can get rid of this is by adding more truth on top of it. It's a principle. It's a principle everywhere. Last thing, number five. This is huge, and it is very hard, especially where we live. And that is, you must discipline it, meaning your mind. You must discipline your mind to be comfortable and at rest in the Word of God, in the presence of God, in the peace of God, in the fellowship, in the companionship of God. You must discipline your mind to be still and at rest and comfortable in the quietness of God. In that still place where He's just quiet. Be still and know that I am God. How do you cast down vain imaginations? By disciplining your mind. Your mind is a muscle, and it must be trained by discipline. It will not discipline itself. You have got to practice pushing down other thoughts. You've got to practice training your mind to be able to just sit and remain in here. And here's a simple thing. Can you sit through a 2-hour service and keep your thoughts in God, on God, around God? Or are they off on what happened today with my friend and what I'm going to be doing 5 minutes from now? And I really don't want to be here, and I don't like that song, and I'd blow a picket. Can you just discipline your mind to say, I came here for something much greater than me, and every lesser thing now needs to stop? I'm going to tell you, that is a discipline. There's not a single Christian, not one, that has not had to learn how to discipline their mind. And how do you discipline it? You practice. Literally, practice. That's why sometimes I just won't say anything up here for a little bit, and I'll see if you can just sit in the quietness of God. Just sit. Say nothing. Practice. Get up in the morning. Get out of your religious routine. Go sit in the stillness of God and just train your mind to shut down. Train it to not think about the list of things you have to do today. Train it not to think about how long you've been sitting here. Train it not to think about what you're worried about, scared about, angry about, feeling rejected, wounded. I don't care, pick it. Your goals, your dreams, your blah, 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 blah. Sit, mind, and be still. I used to, my job in my family was to train the dogs. Whenever you got a dog, it was my job to train the dog. And one of the funniest, most disciplined things you'll ever learn to do is to train a dog to sit. And it's not that hard to get them to sit when they're just right here in front of you. But a well-trained dog can sit, and you can walk over there, and you can walk over there, and you can get their favorite chew toy, and you can run, you can do anything you want around that dog, and that dog will sit. And when they're first starting, you know, they're always wanting to go, and you're like, sit. And then after a while, they get there, and they're like, oh, they whine, and they look like they got to go to the potty. You've trained a dog, don't they? Bridget probably doing this the whole time. Like, come on, Dad. That's what we look like. That's what our brains look like. Sit. Be still. Eventually, you get that dog trained enough. They don't even wiggle their hind end anymore. They just sit. And they just look at you. And they know when it's time, all you got to do is this. You didn't have to make a noise, and boom, they're gone. But until such time, they're in this place of peace. Why? Oh, the discipline it took to get my yo-yo and my skipper and every other dog to do that. Days and hours of practice and frustration. That's what you're going to have to do with your mind. Right. If you just think it's just going to happen, I'm just going to tell you. Then feel free to spend the rest of your life going crazy with your vain imaginations. Because that's where they put you. Vain imaginations torture you. And then they torture the people that have to live with you. So, practice. Practice. Every day, practice. I'm going to teach my mind to shut down right now and to be still. I challenge you. What you're going to realize, if you'll stick with it, is you're going to realize the power of God within you to discipline every single part of your body, especially your mind, to come into the will of God. No random acts of violence, and there's no random acts of kindness. Everything starts right here. If you will get this in control, you'll be all right. Father God, I ask you to help each and every one of us to be bold enough to discipline our mind, to cast down those useless, vain imaginations, to cast down pride that tells us if I think it and feel it, it's right, to humble ourselves, to speak to those vain imaginations, those things that aren't real from the graveyards of the past or trying to play psychic about the future. To speak to those things and to cast them down, to intentionally choose to exalt other things above them. To learn how to sit and tell our mind, even like a well-trained animal, you will be still. And you will sit in the presence of the King. You will be still and you will focus on Him right now, not all your vain imaginations. For Father, if we cannot, by the Holy Spirit within us, control our own minds, then Lord, we will forever live in the pace of trials, temptations, tortures, far greater than we ever need to, rather than the presence and the peace and the will of God. Help us, Lord. Father, as we close in worship tonight, let people not scurry around, and let them be still, even just for one song. And let them cast down the vain imaginations that are seeking even right now to raise themselves above the truth that they know they heard tonight, the truth that they know they heard in the Word. Even just the simple truth that when we're in the presence of the King, we should command every lesser thing to sit down. I thank you, Father, that your grace is sufficient to help us even with the challenges, the unruliness, the childishness, the poutiness of our 2-year-old minds sometimes. Help us, Father, to demand that our minds put away childish things and to mature and sit in the presence of the King. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer over your mind, if it's unruly,